You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, you know, I'm going to continue just teaching along the lines of financial prosperity, God's financial plan, God's will for your life concerning prosperity. You know, God wants us to prosper. I don't think we need to make light of it or not minister on it or not teach it, no more than I think that we ought to teach on it just constantly all the time. I think it's a part of a whole. But you're going to live a very imbalanced life as a Christian if you don't believe God for prosperity, if you don't start believing God to prosper you. It's imbalanced as a Christian to not believe God to bless you on your job, to bless you in your finances, to bless you in your investments and savings and so on and so forth. In fact, you shouldn't be passive about it. You ought to be actively praying over that part of your life that God will bless it, because there's an avenue you can serve God in. Just like you ought to pray that you'd be a witness on your job and pray that your marriage would be an example of Jesus and a light shining in a dark world where marriages are breaking down. Pray for your marriage. Well, pray for your finances. God wants to bless you there too, because as you prosper, obviously you give more, you tithe more, you bless more.
Right.
Amen. So don't be passive about it. Let's be very, very active and aggressive about believing God and running the devil off our finances. Just like you'd run them off your body if he attacked you with cancer, you need to run them off your wallet if he attacks you with lack. Hello?
Amen.
That's just part of a whole. It's not the whole, but it's part of the whole. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to financially prosper. And you may say, well, I don't really believe that a whole lot. I think as long as I'm saved, going to heaven. Listen, if we had that attitude, well, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing at International Outreach Church. I can tell you that right now. We wouldn't be putting on Hallelujah Night. We wouldn't be on television. We wouldn't be giving over $100,000 a year to missions and $200,000 this year is what we're believing for. That wouldn't be happening if we just believed that we're just saved and we're just happy to be saved.
Right.
Now, I am happy I'm saved. And that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I preach the gospel and I want people to be saved. And I'm praying for people to be saved. But it doesn't stop there. God's very much alive and working in our lives today. And he wants to move in our lives now, not just wait till we die and go to heaven. And he wants to bless us. He's our daddy. We're his children. And he looks good, really, when we look good. Think about it. I mean, you know, it's a good reflection on God when we look good. If the Lord is our shepherd, then the sheep ought to look good. You can tell when a rancher takes care of his cattle. They look good. In fact, they're a reflection on the rancher. And the better the cattle look, the more respect you have for that rancher. You know he's put time in those cattle. He's put food in those cattle. Are you with me? He spent some money on those cattle. And so the Lord is our shepherd.
Yes.
Next part of that verse says, I shall not want.
Right.
Why? Why would I not lack? Because the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
He's my provider.
Right.
So it goes both ways. Yes, he's our provider. He takes care of us. But, you know, we reflect on him too.
Amen.
The world sees us and they identify us with him. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And so my success, my blessing, my peace, my joy, and even prosperity, when it's done right. I know it can be done wrong. I know people can be greedy and lust after money like they can lust after women or men.
Right.
But there's also a thing called marriage that's very holy and a great example. And there's a thing called biblical prosperity that's a blessing. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so, sure, there's abuses, but hey, throw the abuses out. Let's aggressively pursue the will of God in our life and let our light shine. Hallelujah. Okay. Jesus said in Matthew 6, just real briefly, I know we taught on this whole half of the chapter the other night. Remember the other night we taught on that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money. That you can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. 1 Timothy 6:10. Well, we went over in Matthew 6:23 here where it says, 6:24, where it says, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other. Love the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. But he didn't say you couldn't have money. In fact, the rest of the chapter is about how God will give you money and bless you and take care of you and clothe you and feed you and house you. And then he says, as a matter of priority, in the 33rd verse, very familiar scripture, you all should know this, quote it, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everybody say first.
First.
First. See, what we're talking about is priorities. God wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants your service. And he wants your trust. And this is what we taught on the other night. And if he has your love and he has your service and he has your trust, he will bless you with all the money in the world if your heart's right. Oh, you know those things. Well, you know, I know I don't have $1 million and the Lord knows I couldn't handle it. Well, you ought to repent. That's nothing to brag about, my brother and sister. What you're telling me is that you're so wicked and so corrupt and so lustful and so greedy that you couldn't handle it. Well, that's not something to be proud of. That's something to ask God to forgive you of and help you.
Amen.
Try me, okay? I'll tell you. Hello. And we'll see how this works out. But now, let's don't be making statements like that. If that is the truth, work on it. I mean, let's get over the lust, get over the greed, get over the mismanagement if that's the case. And I think that probably is the case in most of our lives. It's not the amount of money that's a problem in our life. It's the management of the money. And if we'll pray for wisdom and get in the Word of God, God will give us wisdom on how to handle our money and how to manage our money. If you're faithful in the little, he puts you over the much. So, by all means, I want to obey God concerning my money. I want to obey him concerning my life, forgiving people, loving people, living holy. Well, I also want to obey him concerning finances. His will is to bless me. His will is that I have peace. His will is that I be a vessel of his love, even. But, you know, all those things I just said require me to do something and line up with God's word before that peace overshadows me and that love overshadows me and that forgiveness overshadows me. I have to forgive to be forgiven. I had to be merciful to get mercy. Okay, you out there? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and all these things shall be added to you. So God wants you to have them, but he wants your heart right. He wants you to be right with him. Just like Greg talked the other night about consecrating yourself to God. If you'll consecrate yourself to God, then you'll prosper. You know, you're not gonna have the blessing of Abraham with the heart of Jonah. You know, Jonah was not a very willing subject. He finally did obey God, but he wasn't willing. And he was about half mad at God because God didn't destroy Nineveh after he prophesied that they'd be destroyed because they repented and God forgave him, and he didn't want that kind of God. He wanted a God to destroy Nineveh, and he was mad about it. Oh, you ought to read it. Jonah was just a terrible guy. I mean, he had his moments. He did repent and come to God, and God forgave him, and the whale, you know, threw him up. Hello. And he went back and preached to the city, but still, he was mad because they didn't go under. He didn't want them to repent. Jonah had some problems. Don't be a Jonah. Hello. But if you'll put God first, God will bless you. We ended up with this scripture in 3 John. Turn to 3 John. Hallelujah. Y'all glad you came back? 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray, I'm reading a New King James. The King James says, I wish. Really, in the Greek, it is pray. But they weren't going around wishing and hoping. And, you know, they were praying. They were believing. John was praying. And this was what he's praying. Do you believe John knew how to pray?
He did.
Do you believe he prayed for things that were necessary that people needed to get a hold of? Yeah. Well, sure he did. He didn't waste time. He prayed, and he prayed right. He was a disciple of Jesus. I mean, come on. He wrote John, the Gospel. He wrote the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I mean, John was a man of God. I mean, we quote him constantly when we preach the word because his writings are part of the canon, part of the word of God. So when he prays, we ought to listen up. And here he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, you can't say he's just talking about spiritual prosperity here. Because he's using spiritual prosperity as a gauge by which you should prosper in finances naturally. He's not praying that you'd prosper spiritually. He's praying that you prosper naturally as you prosper spiritually.
Amen.
Are you with me? See the as? That's a governor, a gauge. That's an example he's using here. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things. What things? He's not even talking about spiritual things. He's talking about all things in the natural. Your body, your marriage, your finances. And be in health. Physical healing. just as your soul prospers. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You get that? See, he's not praying your soul prospers. That's a given. You're supposed to prosper solically. You're supposed to get in the Word, turn yourself over to God, consecrate yourself to Him. And as your soul prospers, he's praying that you would prosper in the physical realm. And you would be healed physically. So here's a man of God praying for prosperity. John would be a prosperity preacher. What I mean by that is he'd preach poverty. Now, maybe he wouldn't fall in the category of some fanatical prosperity preachers, per se. And you have those in every camp. Come on, you got fanatics in every camp. But you don't throw the baby out with the wash just because we have extremism. There is a biblical teaching on prosperity, and the Bible's filled with it. And John actually prayed for it. And Jesus actually said God would bless us. And we ought to go to God like a father, because He is our Father. Amen. And He'll meet our needs. Praise God. He'll bless us. And He'll prosper us. So here he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. There's priority. Put God first. Here he's saying, as you prosper solically, soulishly, spiritually speaking, then you're going to prosper physically, financially, and be in health. See, we put sometimes the cart before the horse, and that's all that God deals with, really, is attitudes. He just wants our priorities and our attitudes straight. He has no problem with money. He made it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. The devil didn't make the gold. God did.
Amen.
And the devil didn't come up with this idea of real estate. All the real estate, God made it. Okay?
Amen.
All the lands, He made it. All the mountains, all the rivers, everything, He made it everything. He made everything, and it was good. And He made it to multiply and to be fruitful. And He commanded it all to be fruitful and multiply down to the birds, down to the fish, down to the animals, down to mankind. And He reiterated it at the flood, after the flood, to Noah and his sons and to the whole animal world again. And He reiterated it to Abraham. He reiterated it to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Hello. Woo, hallelujah. God hadn't changed His mind. He's still the same. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy 28, along these same lines. All we're doing is just cleaning out some cobwebs in our heads and minds. And you know, so we get so many religious concepts that are wrong. They just get stuck in our brain. And if we don't root them out, they just, well, it's kind of like a little plant. You know, you plant a seed and you leave it alone. It's not a big deal. If you'll go pull it out right now, it's a wonderful thing. If you leave it alone, it's going to get bigger.
Yes.
And it's going to get rooted. And sometimes it'll get so big, it'll become a tree.
Yeah.
And then when you finally realize, hey, this is wrong, I need to get rid of this, it's not that easy to get rid of. Sometimes it's so big, you can't root it out. You just have to get a chainsaw and cut it down. And now it's gone, but there's this big ugly stump there. It's still there, and you got to deal with that thing. And boy, stumps are hard to remove. Are you following me here? Okay. So what happens, we've heard some things in our life, a lot of things we've heard religiously. We've heard them even from preachers, and I are one. And they've got stuck in our head, and they got stuck in our soul. And even though we'll sit here and say, well, yeah, I believe in prosperity, still there's that thing stuck there because it's there so long. And we've chopped that thing down, and we have. We've cranked up a chainsaw around here quite often and cut down some old trees that need to be cut out. But you know, those stumps, it's still in that corner. We've got to knock it out. God has no reason or purpose and gets no benefit and surely no pleasure from making you poor. He has no reason for you to be poor. It does not benefit the kingdom of God. It does not help you. And it doesn't help God. It didn't make Him look good. Hello. So God wants to prosper us. We know that. But it only comes as we come His way, as we put Him first. See, God cannot bless us if we don't put Him first. That's just the way He made everything. You know, we don't live in such a world that you can live in sin and be blessed. It won't happen. God didn't create that kind of world. He made a world in such a manner that the only way you'll ever be fulfilled is if you serve Him and find Him and put Him first in your life.
Amen.
That's the world we live in.
Yep.
You may want to change the rules, but the potter can't say to the clay, why did you make me this way? God made us in such a way that we can only prosper as we serve Him. That's all. And we've got some vessels that are vessels of honor, and we've got some vessels that are clay pots, vessels of dishonor. And you know what? If you're not going to serve God, you'll always be a vessel of dishonor. You'll always be a clay pot. And you can't say, God, why'd you make me this way? I'm sorry, that's the way it is. You have to serve God to be a vessel of honor. You have to love God and live holy and live right. And that's the way God made everything. Hello. Are you out there? So we want to prosper. I want to prosper. How about you? You want to prosper? God wants you to, you know, God wants you to prosper. But there are ways to do that. You have to get priorities right, your heart right. And then you have to begin to obey Him and serve Him in giving and tithing. And then you have to use wisdom with your finances and budget. You can't just go out and buy everything your beady little eyes see and say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. Well, wait a minute. Whoa, slow down here. You misapplied the scripture, okay? There's a lot of scriptures about how to handle your finances. And of course, I hope we hope to get in a lot of them in the next few weeks. But anyway, okay. Y'all found Deuteronomy?
Yes.
You're waiting on me, aren't you? Oh, yeah, let me turn there. Deuteronomy 28. And this is, there again, in this church, if you've been coming here any time at all, you know some of these things. I mean, we've heard this over and over. But I think we just need to remind ourselves of it and keep going back over it. Deuteronomy 28, notice this first verse. Now it shall come to pass. Everybody say it shall.
It shall.
Okay, he didn't say it might happen. You never know. He said it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass if you... If. It shall come to pass if. So now he's not saying, no matter what you do, this is going to happen. No, he said it will happen if. Okay. So you gotta look at the if to get the shall come to pass. But if you do the if, it shall come to pass. Y'all getting it? Okay. We gotta look at it. Now, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. I got to do something here, right? And I can't. He's not talking about just believing something, or even just confessing something. I think that's the start. You need to confess. You need to believe. But he's also talking about doing something. It's very significant if you go through here and look at this Deuteronomy 28 chapter, first 14 verses, where all these blessings he talks about, they all involve some work, something you do, your business, something. You know, God can't bless your job if you don't have one. So you need to go out and get one. I'm just believing God's going to bless all my investments. Do you have any? Nope, ain't got one of them. Well, He can't bless them if you don't have any. Are you with me? I believe He's going to bless my savings. Are you saving anything? Well, no. I just believe He's going to bless. Well, no, see, He blesses what you do. And I think that's where sometimes we miss it. We often will just start quoting scriptures on prosperity, but they involve doing something, see. And first, getting our heart right. We know that. That's priority. And then we begin to do things that God says to do. And you know what He blesses? He blesses what we do. He blesses what we do. Man, that's good. I like that. And so here it says, it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently, if you diligently obey, man. I'm quoting King James, aren't I? I'm reading New King James. I'm trying to quote King James. King James, yeah. The King James says, shall come to pass if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His sight and obey His commandments which I command you this day. That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. The New King James says, you don't realize a lot of times I can't see this. I'm quoting it and you think I'm reading it. But anyway, I get tongue tangled too because I got that King Jimmy coming out and I'm looking at New King James. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. hearken diligently, obey the voice of the Lord your God. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Ooh, that's good. I love that. And then he says, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country or the field, King James. What's he talking about? In business matters. Blessed in the business matters of the city, the business matters of the country, the farm, the ranch, whatever your business might be. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock. What's God blessing here? He's blessing what we do. He's blessing our work. He's blessing our business, whatever that is. See, what we put our hand to. If you don't put your hand to it, there's nothing for Him to bless. We can quote and all we want. But see, God blesses what we do and what we put our hand to. And that doesn't mean that, you know, as you get old and retire, that you can't. You have investments and you have things that you can, God can bless, that you've done and that you're involved in. So it doesn't mean necessarily you have to go out and get a physical labor job. That's not the point. But there's got to be something for Him to bless. And if we don't take the step and we don't step out there and get that job or make that investment or put that savings in or do something, there's nothing for Him to prosper. Is that making sense? Because a lot of times I think we're under a misconception, you know, as Christians. We just say, well, just God's going to bless me. God's going to bless me. Yeah, but God's going to bless what we do.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm just standing. Well, you know, the scripture that talks about standing says, having done all, stand. He didn't say go stand before you do anything. I was like to ask people. You know, they say, well, I'm standing. What have you done? I haven't done anything. I'm just standing. Well, you really don't have anything to stand on. You gotta go do something and then stand.
Okay.
All right. So he said, he talks about produce here. See, so cattle, flocks, a day, it would be business, a job you work on, or maybe a business you own, or it could be anything. I mean, you know, but it's something you're doing. It's something you're doing. And fifth verse says, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way. They'll flee before you seven ways. Hallelujah. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. So you've got something you're putting in there that He is prospering and blessing and multiplying. See? That'd be savings, investments, whatever. And all to which you set your hand, woo. Everybody say, set your hand.
Set your hand.
Set your hand. See, there it is. The Lord shall command the blessing on you and your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. Whatever you put your hand to. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You need to get where God wants you. Because that's where the blessing is. Really, the blessing is on the other side of obedience, is where it is. Your blessing is on the other side of obedience.
That's right.
Until you obey God, you can't have that blessing, because blessing comes by obedience.
Yeah,
it comes as you obey His voice.
Yes.
It comes as you do His word. And your blessing's waiting over there. You say, where is it? I want it. It's on the other side of obedience. And as soon as you do what God says to do and you obey God and you give Him something to work with, something to bless, something to prosper. See, He multiplies the seed sown.
Amen.
Don't misunderstand or even misquote that scripture. God doesn't multiply seed. He multiplies seed sown.
Amen.
And you say, well, I'm just waiting for God to give me seed. No, God gives seed to the sower. Y'all get that? See, listen now. He gives seed to the sower. So if you're not a sower, you don't get seed. You say, well, I'm waiting to get some seed to sow. Oh, no, no. You got to start where you are. You got to do this yourself. You can't wait till the big ship comes in. My ship comes in. Whew, when I hit that lotto. Whoa, you know. Oh, come on now. Listen. You're going to start where you are. Start right where you are. Do what you can with what you've got. Quit crying and complaining and moaning about everybody else got more money than you got. Do, oh, they can do it. I can't. I don't have anything. Well, just do what you can. Make a pie and give it to somebody. God will bless that, and maybe you'll get 10 pies back. I don't know, but do something. Are you listening to me, see? I mean, because you'll wait and wait and wait and wait and never do anything. You just get older and older and never do anything. No, do something. Do something.
Amen.
Let God bless it.
Yep.
By all means, be a tither, be a giver. But, you know, ask God for wisdom in your finances and use some wisdom. Go to work. If you're working on a job, been on there for years, start believing for a promotion. Start going extra mile on that job. Be the best employee they can, you know, and say, God, I'm going by faith today. I'm going my job by faith. I'm believing for favor with everybody I come in contact with. I'm going to get a lot of work done today. I'm asking you to strengthen me and help me. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. He'll do it too. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so it says here, the Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you. Well, eighth verse. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand to. In other words, he's waiting to give that command. Can you imagine God up there on the edge of his throne waiting to command blessing on you? And you're thinking, well, come on with it. I'll take it. Yeah, but he's waiting for you to do something.
Amen.
So he can command the blessing on what you do.
Yes.
Step out there. You know, he blessed this church when we got out here and got this church going. When we started meeting and preaching and teaching. Are you with me? And praying and are you with me? Prophesying, doing all that we do. That's when he started blessing. Because there's something now for him to bless. And he multiplied and prospered it and so on, and he's going to continue to do so. And we got a slab out there. He's going to bless that slab too. We poured that slab. We did what we could do. And that building's coming. We stepped out there and we got that land. We were ready to pay for that land. And God said, I'm just so happy they're out there doing that. I'm just going to bless them and pay for it myself. That was the most phenomenal, supernatural thing. I mean, and we got busy on paying off our loans. Remember that? We got busy in this church about paying extra on our loan. We got to believe in God that we'd get our loan paid off, and we started doing something about it.
Yeah.
We said, hey, we're going to this V Money thing. Gary Upham came, the Holy Ghost spoke to him, and it was a God thing. We thought, this is just awesome. We'll do this. We'll take extra money every month and put it on our loan. It'll go straight on our principal. Go ahead and pay our payment every month like we do at a regular church account, and we'll put extra money every month, and we'll get this thing down. We're believing God to get this thing paid off. Building, you're paid for, and we started doing everything we could to get it paid for.
Amen.
And God looked down at us, and he said, you know what? That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to bless that because they're doing something. And he sends little Jerry Savelle over here.
Okay.
Preach our 15-year anniversary, 1997. And God speaks to him and says, I want you to pay their building off. Oh,
wow.
Hallelujah. He said, well, isn't that neat how that just happened? No, that didn't just happen. That happened because we got aggressive, we got to believing, and we got to doing something.
Amen.
Man, we started getting blessed, and we said, hey, you know what? We need some more land. We're going to get some more land. And we never took a special offer. The money started coming in. But, you know, we started wheeling and dealing. I started calling these guys that own this land. It was hilarious, the correspondence we had. We actually tried to get that land for 10, 15 years. Literally. There were periods where we didn't deal with them. There's periods where we did deal with them. They wanted 2 months. They didn't want, you know, they wanted to swap land. They wanted us to build a driveway out here. And finally, I don't know what came over me, but I called them up and says, we want to buy the whole 103 acres. And I figured we could do it and just sell off the rest. I thought, why did I do that? I don't, you know, call them up and God sent somebody here that said he would handle that and buy off what we didn't buy. Warren Elrod. Y'all remember Warren Elrod? He's in heaven right now. And so I started dealing with these people again. And these guys were all retired. They're all older men. All three of the guys owned all that land. They were Yitzbach, Goldstein, and Reuben. Ruler was their name. You can kind of figure what they might have been. But anyway, we wind up buying it. And I mean, the day we're going to buy we had the money to buy we're going to buy about 25 acres, I think is what we were going to get at that time, 25, 35, whatever. And the day we're going to close the deal, we get a call, and actually it was Warren Elrod. He says, to make a long story short, there's a lot involved, and it was kind of hilarious the way it went down. But finally, he said he wanted to pay for the church's land too. And we had the money to do it. In the bank, had the money, already made the deal. And he was going to buy off what was left, and he wound up writing a check out and paid off that church land. Oh, it was Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder that day. It was zippity-doo-dah. And you know what we did? We built that warehouse and just paid cash for it.
Yes.
Dug that pond, built up that foundation, poured that slab, built that warehouse and paid cash. Had the money to pay cash. You know, I mean, we've had some tremendous blessings, financial blessings in our church, but make no mistake about it, it was because we were doing things. It was because we were believing, yes. We were calling in, yes. We were giving lots of money to missions. And we were doing something with what we had. Just like we went out and poured that slab. We did it. We poured it. That's what we had. That's what we did. And God blesses what you do. Now, if you can't just sit back. You got to do something. You can't do it all, no, but you can do something. Your whole dream's not going to come to pass this week, but I tell you what, you can make one step toward it.
Amen.
It may be just starting a savings account. I don't know. If you don't have one, go start one. Just believe God to get the thing started. Just start there, you know, and start looking around for ideals to make money, even beyond your job. There's ways to do it.
Yes, right.
Oh, hallelujah. But you got to do something. Y'all out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, notice what it says here. Ninth verse. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. Whoa. He's talking about financial prosperity here. Now, He's talking about being holy. Notice how He ties it all together. To God, it's all the same. He wants to bless you. He wants to make you holy. And He wants to finance to prosper you, too. It's all the same to Him. He wants you to live holy. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be prosperous. Notice how He just flows right into that. Now, He's talking about my goodness. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouse and all you put your hand to. He'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God's given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. I believe God wants to bless His people, don't you?
Amen.
Just as He's sworn to you, if there it is again. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. They will see it on you. They'll see the prosperity. They'll see the blessing. They'll see the holy life and the holy living also. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. I believe the King James says, make you plenteous in goods. Didn't it say that? And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season. Well, now there again, He's opening the heavens to give the rain to our land, but what good is the rain on our land if there's nothing out there planted? Obviously, He's assuming we're out there doing something, and He's going to bless what we do.
Amen.
And that's what you ought to do. You pray over your job. Don't let your company go under. You pray over that company. That company's blessed because you work there.
Amen.
I've worked for companies that just begin to grow because I was there.
Amen.
They pay my paycheck. I'm believing God they're going to prosper. Hello. I've seen it happen. And I just got on my knees and began to pray. And God began to bless them. Business began to come in. And I got raises. I pray over that thing. This is our heritage. See, this is one of the benefits. Don't let it slip. Don't be lackadaisical about it. Don't be passive about it. You got to pray. You have an enemy out there that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's trying to steal your finances, just like he's trying to steal your soul, just like he's trying to steal your children or your marriage or your life. This is just one area that we need to be aggressive in and believe God. So he says, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Oh my goodness. Wouldn't you like to be where you just don't borrow, that you just lend to people? Now, you know, I understand our system, and I understand borrow money to pay a house. That's a whole lot better than paying rent. You know, but you ought to believe God get your house paid for. Amen. Put that on your list. I'm going to believe God get my house paid for. So you don't just pay payments all your life on that. That's a whole lot better than paying rent. No question about it. That's a good thing. So, and there's not a sin. It's not a sin to borrow, because the Bible tells you to lend to your brother who's in need. Are you with me? So if it was a sin to borrow, then you'd be putting them to sin in sin by lending to them.
That's right.
And that's not right. You know that. So it's not God's best. We're all there and we all go through that process, but we need to get out of that. Our goal should be get to where we're just lending and not borrowing. Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen, right.
Amen, amen. And he goes on and says this, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain, your plant season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Keep the commandments. Do the deeds. You know, act on this. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Stay the course. Stay the course here. Keep doing what God's saying to do. It pays to serve God. He will bless you. It pays to be honest. It pays to have integrity. It pays to show up on time on your job. It pays to go the extra mile no matter what everybody else is saying. It pays to pray over your business, pray over the job you're working on, your investments, whatever the case may be. And don't give up. Don't back up. Keep serving God and just hold God to his word, not in a demanding fashion, but since you know he's faithful and he cannot lie, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let the devil tell you, well, in your case, you're not going to make it. Or in your case, you're not going to prosper. No, no. God said so. I believe it. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Now turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah. That's helping you.
Amen.
Now see, you just have to clear your thinking up. It's all we're dealing with is attitudes here and our thinking about this. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48. This is a real familiar scripture. Many of you know this one too. You know, we hear a lot about giving. We hear a lot about tithing, and rightly so. And we'll teach along those lines in this series. But there's a lot about just working. Because, you know, working really is God's number one way to prosper you. Some people think it's a four-letter word. And it does have four letters. But work's a good thing. Now, you say, I'm retired. Well, I understand that. If you're retired, you still have your retirement coming in. And you might have investments and so on. So you've worked and you've paid the price. Now, believe God for all that to continue. Well, this country's about to go under. This Social Security system's about to blow up. Well, now, I know all the economics, and I understand all the economics. But see, my God doesn't supply my need according to the riches of the United States of America. He supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've done my part. I believe so. God's going to bless me. I don't know how he's going to do it. He's going to do it. If he has to hold that thing together, he'll hold it together for me if he had to. Or he'll have another way to do it. He'll send some ravens by. That's fine. But I'm not going to live in fear. No, 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 no. I've lived for God too long, served God too long, believed God too much, seen too many miracles, had too many prayers answered, had too many words from God, had the Holy Ghost on me way too many times to give up now and start getting in fear. No, no, not going to get in fear. Not going to happen. I'm looking to heaven, and I'm believing and trusting God, and I'm doing what I know to do. And God's going to bless me and bless the work of my hand.
Amen.
Don't you let that devil get in there and let fear come in. You panic and, you know, and lose sleep. And I'll tell you, it'll ruin your health. It'll ruin, you know, you start worrying over money matters, it'll ruin a marriage. It'll ruin your health. In fact, you'll just die quicker and you'll never get to see that retirement. Don't do that. Okay. Isaiah 48, found it? Listen to this. This is so good. I love this. 17th verse. Thus says the Lord. Good way to start out. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. I love it. He's my Redeemer. He's redeemed me. I've been redeemed. I've been paid for, been bought. You know, there was a price. There was an exchange concerning my soul. Did you know that? There was a price on my soul, and Jesus paid that price. God understands finance. He deals with it all the time. It required blood, sinless, spotless blood, a lamb without spot, without blemish. And Jesus came down and paid the bill, and I'm paid for. I'm not in debt. I'm paid for. Are you with me? I'm redeemed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not lacking. I'm not a penny short. I'm not one penny short concerning my salvation. It's paid in full with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he goes on and says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the one who redeemed you and paid for your soul and your sins and bought you, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Now see, there's a truth here. Now I know he prospers us. I know he blesses us financially. But see, what he's teaching us to do, he's teaching us to profit.
Amen.
That means we're learning things that cause us to profit from the Word. Now, if we learn these things and don't do them, then they obviously we can't expect the result because we didn't act them out. Just like you learn something in school. If you don't apply it, it doesn't help you. You can learn a trade, but if you don't get a job, just knowing it won't help you. You got to go put it to work now. See, that's why when you go in the Bible and you find out all these things, you begin to put them to work. You do something with them, and then God blesses it. He doesn't just prosper us abstractly, just out there, fall out of heaven type stuff, you know. No, He teaches us to profit. Man, I'm telling you, if you could know, and there's no way you can, I can't know. We don't know that much about it, but there's some things in history and some archaeological finds we can dig up and get bits and pieces. But if you could get into Solomon's life, man was a sharp businessman. God gave him wisdom. And from his wisdom, he began to prosper. The richest man in the Bible was the smartest man in the Bible. Besides Jesus. And we know that. The Bible tells us that. In fact, that's all he really asked for was wisdom. And God said, well, you know, because your heart's right. There it is again, getting that heart right again, isn't it? He said, because your heart's right, you hadn't asked for riches. You hadn't asked for length of days or even the life of your enemies. Because you've asked this, you've asked for wisdom to rule my people. I'm going to give you wisdom. And I'm going to give you the life of your enemies. And I'm going to give you riches like no one has ever had before. That's an amazing account. Because his priorities were right. His heart was right. God wanted to bless him. And he did. But he did it through the wisdom he gave him. So man, a lot of times we're up against it financially speaking. And we're just praying money. And we're trying to pray that money in. What we ought to be doing is praying, God, show me how to take care of this. Show me what to do. Show me what I need to change so I don't get back in this thing again. Got one yeah on that one. Yeah. No, we want a miracle. We don't. Are you with me? We want a miracle. That's like we want a healing. We don't want to stop eating all that stuff. It's killing us. Hello. No, really. No, we want God, heal me of lung cancer. I want to quit these cigarettes. Just heal me of lung cancer. Are you with me? I'm not condemning anybody when I say these things. I mean, can you relate to what I'm saying? Come on, have you done it? We prayed for a miracle, and really what we needed was wisdom. Yeah. We need God to say, hey, you know, here's your problem. If you correct this, I can help you. Yeah. But I can't help. I can't. Just giving you everything right now won't help you, really. It might get you out of a mess, and God does get us out of messes. Thank God he does. Are you with me? Thank God he supernatural heals and all that. But, you know, he really wants us to use wisdom about our bodies, too. And wisdom about our finances and our relationships. And you know, you wouldn't have to pray that God would forgive you and forgive that person you got mad at and blew your top with all the time if you just quit blowing your top. It's deep now. This is very deep. But God will forgive you. Yes, he will. And he will patch it. He will fix it. He will. And thank God he does. But you know, you're just doomed to repeat the thing until you get it fixed.
That's right.
Until you adjust the problem.
That's right.
And finance is no different. It's not some super spiritual thing that doesn't know the rules apply to. The rules that apply to your life and living holy and living right and marriage and everything else, the same rules apply to finances. You can't violate certain rules and expect your finances to be blessed. You have to follow the rules. You have to use wisdom about paying bills and budgeting and all those kinds of things, investment, saving, working, all those kinds of things. So, what does God do? He teaches us to profit.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, this may not be a hoop hollering Holy Ghost shouting meat, but this is good teaching. This will help you. And you know I'm a word man, faith man, and I believe and stand on the word of God concerning prosperity and all those things. But I also understand that I have to do things. And sometimes I have to pray that God will help me because I've done dumb things. And it's hindered, it's kept God from blessing me because I was going the wrong direction. And I had to make adjustments. You know, hallelujah, now we set money aside every month for hallelujah night. We've done that for years. We don't just come up one day, a week before hallelujah night, and come up with $8,000-$10,000. You know, we figure that in. We budget that in. And so we talk about it. Isn't that great we're able to do that? Well, sure, God's blessed us we're able to do it. We're also using wisdom throughout the year. And a lot of things are like that. So you know it's coming. Oh, come on, man. The bill collector's coming. It's coming. That bill comes every month in that mail. You know what? You can take that mailbox down. They'll get it to you somehow. It doesn't matter. It's a coming, okay? So get ready for it. You get ready for it. So you know it's coming. Don't go through life with your eyes closed. Open up your eyes. Wake up, you know. So it says here, he teaches you to profit. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Man, that's good. Man, that makes me want to dig in here and find out what I'm supposed to do. What way am I supposed to go? What does he say about these things? Oh, 18th verse, I love this. I can almost feel and hear the compassion, or the passion as it were. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. I wanted to bless you so bad. I wanted it to be so good for you. I wanted to help you. But I couldn't. Think about it. And that's the way we've been. Well, I've been there. We've all been there. I'm not throwing any stones here. You understand this. I mean, there are no stones to throw here. We've all been there. But thank God we finally wake up and realize that, hey, I got to quit doing this. I'm shooting myself in the foot here, and God can't even help me because I'm just quit pulling the trigger. Quit loading that thing up and pulling that trigger. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Use some wisdom here. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God he's forgiving. But, you know, you got to make some adjustments. We all got to make adjustments. We got to change bad habits, if that's the case, bad financial habits. You know, I'll tell you something. You need to learn to balance your checkbook. Come on.
Amen.
Don't be guessing it's what's in there.
Amen.
Well, I don't know. I think I got more money than that, you know. And I know there's a lady that it used to go to our church. I'm not naming any names. But would go to the bank every morning, go to the drive-thru and says, could you check and see what my balance is today? Every day. He said, how do you know that? Because somebody else in our church was the teller, they would ask. Cashier, teller, no, more of a teller because she told her, told us about it. She's a teller. She told everybody. Anyway. But I thought, are you serious? I even talked to her. No, every day. Comes by every day. Says, what's my balance? Well, you can't even keep up with that because you don't even know what checks are outstanding. Come on, that can change overnight.
Yeah.
You got to learn to balance a check, but you got to know where you are, you know. Oh, well, okay. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments or heeded my commandments. Then, oh, this is so good. Oh, and I got to close out with this. This is so good. And he's talking about profiting. He's talking about profiting in your life. That would cover everything, not just finances, but specifically we're talking about finances. Oh, that you had heeded or hearkened to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river. Oh, how many times have you been distraught over finances? How many times has it warded you and you worried about it? You know, God didn't want you to live that way.
Amen.
Is it important? You better believe it's important. Does God want you to prosper? You better believe God wants to prosper you because it is a killer. It'll stress you out. It'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your marriage. You'll live miserable days when you're in debt. God doesn't want you to live like that. He wants you to have peace. So he wants you to get a hold of this, see? He wants all of us to get a hold of it. I'm telling you, in this church, whoo, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a... Oh, my, my. And I can remember days when it was a struggle. I was in knee-deep in mud. We paid 9 late payments 1 year in this church. 9 late payments 1 year. We paid it. We did everything we could to pay it, but we were struggling. Those were tough years. Tough years. We didn't get up and moan and groan about it. I'll tell you that. We stood up here and believed God and preached the word and stayed positive, you know, and didn't harangue the people and, you know, didn't tell everybody we're about to go under. We never talked that way. I do not talk that way. And you'll never hear me preach that from the pulpit, ever. We don't preach lack. We don't preach whine, moan, and groaning. We preach believing God. And we were believing God. We were praying. Mo and Ron and all of us were talking about how we can take care of this thing. We talked about all kinds of ways. And the Holy Ghost moved when Gary up and came. And you know what? He moved with a plan. He gave us something to do. See? And we did it. And since then, I'm telling you, I have such peace. It is so nice to have a board meeting now. Isn't it, Mo? It is wonderful. We just sit around and laugh and talk about how good everything is. We got peace like a river. And that's the way God wants us. Maybe you're not there, but hey, make it your goal. Head that direction. Listen to God. Get in the Word. Get in these sessions. Get in some of these teachings we're teaching. And start making some adjustments, making some changes. Get rid of some bad habits in finances and start developing some good ones. And in so doing, well, God will teach you to profit. That is His will. He wants to do it. So let's just hook up with Him and agree together. Amen.